Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The true worship of God involves personal sacrifice. We give of our time, our talents, and our treasure. And the Bible says all of this is acceptable to God. Today, more insights on how to live in a way that worships God continually. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on how to adore God, we're finding out the cost involved in worship. Turn now to Romans 14:17 as we dig deeper into those costs.
What he's saying is that if you serve others with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, and there are the emotions again, he says that then we are doing God homage. We are doing that which is, look at the text, acceptable to God. Don't you see how this transforms your daily life and your vocation? Remember when Elizabeth Elliot was here a number of years ago and told that story that I shall never forget? For 2 years, she took one of the primitive languages and broke them down into writing. She had to go through all of the different words and the verb forms and everything with an informant. And when it was over, they had no Xerox machines in those days. She had all of her research that was to be used for the translation of the New Testament in a suitcase. And the suitcase was stolen. And they looked everywhere for the suitcase and could never find it. 2 years of work gone. And someone said to her, "Were you not angry with God that you would work for 2 years and then it would be gone?" And she said, "That never occurred to me, because," she said, "those years that I was doing that, that was my worship to God. That was my service to God. Those years of work were done for God, not for men." So you can steal the suitcase, but you'll never steal the work. Whenever I prepare a message, I like to take these notes, and today they come in two parts. I will not go into reasons why that should happen, but see, sometimes I'm not as infallible as the scriptures, so you can see all the markings. I don't think Paul had those many markings when he wrote the book of Romans, but here is my sacrifice to God. Whatever it is, we simply give it to him and we say, "Lord, I'm doing this for you." Maybe other people won't appreciate it too much, but even if they don't, that's really not the point ultimately. This was done for you. It is the spiritual act of worship as I serve others through the ministry of the gospel. So the second word is the word serving. Let me give you a third word. It is the word winning. Now take your Bibles. You're still in Romans chapter 15 now, and you'll notice in verse 16, you turn across the page. I pick it up in verse 15 of chapter 15. Did I say 16? It's chapter 15, verse 15. But I have written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God, to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that my offering of the Gentiles might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What's Paul saying? He's saying that as I share the gospel of Jesus Christ and people are converted, that's part of my offering to God. You see, that's part of worship. That's part of making God the centerpiece of my life. That's part of what God desires, and that is well-pleasing to him, that I would have a part in the salvation of people. And those people who are saved, now in turn, they will make their own offerings and sacrifices to God. Today we dedicated some babies to the Lord. As these parents rear those children for the glory of God and they come to know Christ as Savior, that is part of their spiritual act of worship. That is part of their adoration of God, so that when they get to heaven, so that when we get to heaven, those of us who are parents, and our children are there in heaven, that's part of the offering that we are giving to God. We say, "God, we reared them for your glory despite many discouragements along the way, but we did that so that we'd have something to present to you." but it was acceptable. So winning people to Christ is part of that. Let me give you a fourth verb, and that is behaving. Now turn to Ephesians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. I'm saying that for my benefit, not yours. Chapter 5, verse 8. You'll notice it says, verse 7, don't be partakers with those who are sons of disobedience, because they do all kinds of things that you shouldn't be doing. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn, and here's the phrase now, what is pleasing to the Lord. That's part of our offering, is to walk in goodness and righteousness and truth. You know, this idea that somehow worship could be limited to words just because you sing the right songs, to Paul, is unthinkable. Our whole lives are to be a crescendo of worship. Our whole lives we are to ask the $64 question, what pleases the Lord? What can we do to show that he is worthy of all of our adoration and the very depths of our being and our lives? What can we do? Well, one thing we can do is to walk as children of light and be a credit to him. Let me give you another word. The word giving. Now, Ephesians, Philippians is the next book, and that's where we are turning. Giving. You'll notice what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 10. And actually, let's pick it up at verse 16. Chapter 4, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift in itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Paul is saying, look, I could have even done without what you sent me, but I'm glad that you sent it to me, not so much for my benefit, but for yours. You know, this is a whole revolutionary concept of giving to God's work. Most of the time we think, I give to benefit some ministry. I give so that missionaries can go to the mission field. I give so that we can have our various programs to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And that's why I give. I give so that people are helped. Isn't that the way we think? Paul turns it around and said, even if there were no missionaries to send, even if there were no people with needs, he says it would be good for you to give because of what it does to the giver. It's like putting money into a mutual account. It profits, he says, and it's what God does in your life because you and I are born stingy. Therefore, when we give, we are giving our selfishness away and we become more like Jesus. It's for what it does us and not just for the good that it may do somebody else. Verse 18. But I have received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul is saying that your generosity pleases God, and it is an acceptable sacrifice. It's part of your worship. That's what worshiping is all about. You bring something and you give it to God. You'll notice from time to time here in the worship service, when we come to receiving the offering, I will say, now we're going to continue in our worship and we're going to receive the offering. And I venture to say that there are some of you out there who think to yourself, well, that's just kind of a comfortable segue that we use to transition from singing when we're really worshiping to giving when we're not worshiping anymore. No. We've been singing our praises, and now it's time to bring our gifts, and that is worship. It is an aroma, a very beautiful imagery of the New Testament that shows that God is well pleased with this fragrance, and it pleases God to see people give generously. It is a sacrifice well pleasing to God. What on earth made us think that we would worship just because we sang the right songs? Where did we get that from? Worship involves giving. There's another verb for us. Let me also say that worship involves praying. Praying. For this, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul says in verse 1, First of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That when we pray for those who are in authority, when we pray for the president, when we pray for those who are in need, and we pray for our world, and we do so, it is also something that is good and acceptable. Remember that the whole purpose of worship, you see, is to adore God and to make sure that all of the spokes of our life point in His direction. And what better way can we do that except to utilize the very great, wonderful privilege of prayer, and that is part of our worship which is acceptable to God. And now let me talk about the worship service. One last passage to turn to, and that is Hebrews chapter 13. Now we finally get to the worship service. Hebrews chapter 13. And the writer of Hebrews says in verses 13 and 14, he's talking about the reproach of Christ and how we should be willing to follow him and go outside the camp and bear his reproach and be identified with him even at great personal cost. And then he says in verse 15, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, and give thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. Don't miss it. The Bible is very clear that our worship, the songs of praise, the gratitude of our hearts is acceptable to God. But notice in the passage of Scripture just referred to, it also speaks about doing good. Don't neglect doing good, because everything that we do is acceptable to God if it is done for His glory and in His name, no matter how obscure. Oftentimes people are discouraged because they are unrecognized, but God is the one who recognizes people, and that becomes very important. In the last broadcast, I quoted Martin Luther, and I'm going to quote him again. He says that God milks cows, but he uses a milkmaid to do it. In other words, when you are doing something as obscure as milking a cow, when you are scrubbing a floor, when you are a plowman, and you are plowing the field, no matter what you do, you are a priest before God, and you and I have the privilege of offering up to God spiritual sacrifices made acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Today, would you serve God? Would you say that no matter what I do today, it is all done in His name for His glory? And you will be honored by God. You personally will receive a reward, but you'll be honored by God. Because at the end of the day, only what He thinks and your relationship with Him matters.
Erwin Lutzer with more on how to adore God. What principles undergird your worship experience? Next time, teaching that can set all of our churches on solid ground. This brief series on worshiping God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about how to adore God. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.